Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. I have to admit that I appreciate when these particular two lessons come to us in our three-year cycle. I appreciate it because I believe that as you look at the two lessons that we just read, we receive from Holy Scripture a witness into something that I believe is powerful for us in our lives today. First, let's look at our lessons and what they are portraying for us from John. Our gospel lesson that Rebecca just read, we see a picture of disciples who are scared. Their leader, their rabbi, Jesus, is dead. He has been executed, and they are afraid that they are next. And they, we are told, are locked up behind closed doors. Just earlier that morning, Peter, John, and Mary had seen the open tomb. Mary had even seen the risen Christ and had told them about it. However, they were still scared. And I'm not sure that they believed them. They were too scared to unlock their doors. They were confused. They were uncertain exactly what the events of that day meant for them. That's our gospel lesson. That's what came first. And then we have our lesson from Acts. The scene is Pentecost, which was an annual Jewish celebration of the harvest, which came 50 days after the Passover. And we are told that devout Jews from every nation had come to Jerusalem for their own version of a big celebration and parade. Yet a rushing wind comes in, descends upon them, and they see visions and begin speaking in different languages. People gathered outside are amazed by this gift of the Spirit. They think that they've had too much to drink. But then Peter stands up, the appointed leader of disciples, and he stands before the gathered crowd and he begins to passionately share the gospel message with them. Now, every time I read this, I'm reminded that these are two strikingly different visions of the same people. And it begs the question, how did a bunch of scared and seemingly defeated people become so bold and so fervent in their action of belief? Talk about a change. What I find so powerful about this witness is that I believe that it speaks to our lives in a very real way. Because if we are honest with ourselves, the description of the disciples, especially from John, is still perfectly apt, isn't it? Friends, have you ever been scared? Uncertain? Have you ever felt like you did not fully live into your faith? How do people who struggle, who become depressed, who are hurting, who witness tragedy in their lives and lives of those around the world, who even question the activity of God, kind of like the disciples, ever come to be bold proclaimers of the message? How do you and I go from being locked in our own, behind our own doors of security, into being fervent witnesses of the gospel? I've always wondered how that happens, because friends, it has to happen. It must happen. Each and every single day. It must happen. It has to happen because indeed the work of God is ongoing. The work of God continues and the work of God is ever present. And it's being done through you and me. So how does this happen? Well, a discerning listener will notice that I didn't quite give the whole picture from our gospel lesson. You see, there's more to this account than just what I shared. And this is where we receive an answer. You see, the disciples are hidden and locked behind closed doors. They're still afraid, however. Don't we often think that our own solutions, our own securities, will keep us safe? Don't we often find security in our own abilities or our own accomplishments? Do we not often find security in our own philosophical stances or political ideals or the relative security of living in a safe neighborhood? Do we not often find security in our family, in our relationships, and even our church? Even though the locked doors give an appearance of safety, and while all manner of our securities do indeed give us an appearance of safety, can any of them fully satisfy our fear? In the lesson from John, however, as they were locked behind closed doors, something happened. Jesus enters in. Jesus enters into their locked rooms. The disciples' fear and their attempts to keep it at bay were not able to keep out Jesus, and neither is that the reality for us and for our lives. Jesus broke the bonds, and he loosed the chains of death. Do you think that a door is going to keep him away? Or your own doubt? Or your own struggle? Or your own sin? Indeed, without warning, Jesus enters into the lives of a group of hurting people locked behind a door, and he brings a presence. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Just as God breathed life into the first created beings, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, breathes lives, brings life and possibility and creative energy into the disciples, into you, into me. And it's this life-giving breath of God that is accompanied by the security of Christ's promise and word that empowers us beyond what we could ever imagine ourselves to be. How else but the power of the Holy Spirit breathed into our lives can we imagine ourselves committing our lives to serve Christ? A Jesus who will challenge every way that we seek to live. How else but the power of the Holy Spirit breathed into our lives can we imagine ourselves forgiving someone who has deeply hurt us? Or trusting that a difficult situation will become better? Or loving someone completely foreign to us? Or showering mercy and grace upon someone who neither expects or deserves it? How else but the power of the Holy Spirit breathed into our lives can we imagine professing a loving and gracious God even amidst tragic evidence seeming to the contrary? How else but the power of the Holy Spirit breathed into our lives can we imagine any hope for a desperate and broken world? God, the Spirit of God, intercedes into this world, our world of locked doors and false securities, and breathes new life possibilities. New life possibilities that on this day of Pentecost remind us that our God is a God on the move. That our God is a God who will not stop breathing his Spirit on you and call you beyond your fears and uncertainties toward a new reality of peace and passion and grace. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that moves you beyond your fear. It is a peace that is certain and sure because of the promise of Jesus. And, friends, it is a peace that has no end. In Jesus' name, amen.